people approach God with legalism, with this understanding that they've got to do it in a certain way, and that's not true. But if you can ever understand God as Father, you'll understand yourself as a through the lens of sonship. And if you can ever understand yourself through the lens of sonship, it will change how you relate or how you posture yourself toward God as your Father. And so we understand this, that the first thing that Jesus does with his group called the disciples is he has something that the Bible, or that we have in churchdom, titled the Sermon on the Mount. It was not a sermon on the Mount. It was actually a lesson on a mountaintop to get away from the multitude. The Bible, Matthew chapter 5 is where this is, context is drawn from, but you can read it on your own. The Bible says this: when he saw the multitude, he went up on the mountain. If I see somebody and I go somewhere else, that means I don't want to be around them. Not right now. He went up on the mountain, and when his disciples, and that word disciples is the Greek word that denotes an intimate relationship and a closeness. When the people who were close to him had come to him, he then began to teach them. And the first thing he teaches them is who they are. He begins to tell them, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. He begins to go over this identity lesson and teach them who they are. And then he gets into prayer, and he teaches them to have a different identity in prayer. And so it wasn't that they weren't praying now, they just weren't praying in the right context. And so his thought process or his lesson was this: when you pray, identify God as your Father. But before he ever gets there, he says a couple of things that I want to outline for you. Number one is this: God wants you to have a prayer life. God wants you to have a prayer life. I'm going to teach you a legal term. It's called stipulated. Stipulated. When something's stipulated, it just means it's understood. It's understood to be true. We ain't got to go over it. If I tell you 2 + 2 = 4, we ain't got to go over that. So I can tell you, if you got two people and I give you 4 pieces of toast, I must really want toast tonight. If you got 4 people and I give you 4 pieces of toast and there are 2 of you and I say share, it's stipulated that each person gets how many pieces of toast? Right. Right? It's just understood. I don't have to go through the math lesson. It's just understood. Well, to God, you having a prayer life is stipulated. If you are his disciples, you are going to have a prayer life, and I'm going to prove it to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 says this, just the first sentence. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. So he goes into his identity lesson again. First of all, he says, when you pray, which stipulates you're going to pray. Right? It's just an understanding. You're going to pray. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, because you're not them. I just spent all of chapter 5. I'm sure he didn't say chapter 5, but he just spent all of chapter 5 teaching you who you are. So when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. You're not them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 6 says this. But when you pray, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. You're not the heathen. You're my disciples. So being my disciples means you're going to pray. And when you pray, don't use vain repetition. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. That tells you this: everybody ain't got your daddy. He said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the heathen. You're not them. And then in verse 8, he says, therefore, do not be like them. For your Father already knows what you need before you ever ask. So there's their Father, and there's your Father. Amen? Is this making sense? Y'all kind of looking at me like I'm okay. It's okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, since They have a different father. You have a different father. But your father already knows what you need. You need to pray like this. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, be your name be kept holy. And so God presupposes that you're going to have a prayer life. If you're my disciples, you're going to pray. That's his attitude. It's stipulated that you're going to pray. I'm going to tell you this. It's also stipulated that you're going to fast. It's stipulated. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, if you're going to be a disciple of God, you're going to pray and you're going to fast. I'll tell you why in just a second, but it's stipulated that you're going to fast. Here's how I know. Stop taking me to Angry Birds. I'm going to lay hands on this tablet in just about 2 seconds. I'm serious. This is perfect timing. It is. It's just, they're talking about fasting, and all of a sudden it takes me to Angry Birds. Really? God wants you to have a fasting life. Matthew chapter 6, same chapter, verse 16, starting at verse 16, says this. Moreover, when you fast, it doesn't say if you fast. It doesn't say fast if you want to. It says when you fast. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites. Again, don't be like them. With a sad countenance, for they disfigure their face, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But, here it is again, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What do those two genres of scripture have in common? I'll help you out because I ain't got time to poll the audience. They both indicate a secret place. They both indicate a secret place. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a secret place. Turn to the other side and say, there's a secret place. There's a place. There's a place called the secret place. And in order for you to get to the secret place, you've got to be willing to be intimate with the one who is in the secret place. And prayer and fasting are actions of intimacy. They are not just there to make you hungry and talk to somebody that nobody else can see. God does not want you to look schizophrenic. God wants you to grow to be like him. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't have a long time to teach this. This just dropped in my spirit is this. The covenant that God made with Adam, God never intended to go away. And so the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, that's why the Bible calls him the last Adam, means that God wants that same relationship with you. He wants you to be like him. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he gives you access to what Peter says is a divine nature. You're a partaker of the divine nature. What God wants you to do is manifest that divine nature. He wants to bring you to a place where he shows you who you really are. Now, some of y'all need to hear that again, because some of you have trouble figuring out who you really are. And you hear me say this all the time. Look, you're going to say this again? Yes, I'm saying it again. Because some people in your age bracket, maybe this ain't you, go through extremes to identify themselves. Different hair colors every week. Different clothes every week. Now let's get a little more serious. Different boyfriend, different girlfriend, every week. One minute happy, one minute sad. Somebody put the wrong post on Facebook. My life is over. God God wants you to have an understanding of who you really are. Not who the world tells you you're supposed to be. Not who the world tells you that you ought to be. Not who the world tells you that you're going to be. Not what Facebook says you are. Not what Twitter says you are. Not what's on your profile. None of that. God wants you to have an understanding of who you are in Him. And who you are in Him is powerful and divine. And in order for you to access that knowledge, in order for you to start to look like that, you have to go to the secret place. Because He don't show it. Look, everybody don't have the same Father. He wants to be Father to everybody. He would that no man would perish. But the truth of the matter is that the world is an enemy to God. And if the world is an enemy to God and the world is telling you who you ought to be and God is telling you that you're not that, there must be a place where He can shut out the noise and He can shut off all the other voices and He can just have a conversation with you about who you are. That's called the secret place. That's called the secret place. There's a great deal of pressure and emphasis placed on the secret place concerning prayer and fasting. Why? Because God wants you to bear His image. But bearing His image is a direct result of your proximity and your intimacy with Him. It is determined by how much time you spend with Him in the secret place. Prayer and fasting are secret place activities. That does not mean that you have to do them without telling anyone. It means that they are not meant to build your reputation. They're meant to build your relationship. What does time look like? Listen to this. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 17, there's a story concerning this. In Matthew chapter 17, the story concerning this says this, that there was a man who had a son who was an epileptic. The man had a son who was an epileptic. And he brought him to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I brought my son to your disciples, but your disciples could not cast the demon out of him. Jesus said some things. He says, oh, you perverse generation, how long will I bear with you? Perverse and faithless is what he said. And then he cast the demon out of the boy. The Bible says that the demon left the boy instantly when Jesus cast it out. And pick up in verse 19, it says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Don't we sing a song by Hillsong called Healer with a tag that says, nothing is impossible for you. So we identify, thank you. We identify that God, there's nothing impossible for God. But Jesus said nothing will be impossible for who? You. Nothing will be impossible for you. Check out what he says in verse 21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Which means there's a transformation from what you can do now to what you can do then that only happens in the secret place. And you only get there by having a prayer life and a fasting life. And if I had, I don't have time to go into this, so you're going to have to take my word for it or go back and do some grammatical checking. But the context of what he's saying is he's not talking about the demon. He stops talking about the epilepsy. He says you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. If you'll have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say this mountain move and it'll move. But the only time you're able to release that kind of faith is by taking on a divine nature that's found in the secret place through prayer and fasting. You don't got to work for it. You just got to go to the secret place. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Ben, y'all can come on back. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So 2 Corinthians tells us that we are being transformed because we're looking into his face like we're looking in a mirror. Where do you get that close to someone? In the secret place. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be imitators of God as dear children. Where do you learn how to imitate somebody? In the secret place. He wants to teach you stuff like when I said, let there be light, check it out, you can do that too. If I can cast Satan out of heaven, you can cast Satan out of your school. The Amplified version of that verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says this, therefore be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father. The New Living Translation says, imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are his dear children. Why does God want you to identify him as father? Because he wants you to be like him. Why do we pray? So that we can get to him in the secret place. Why do we fast? So that we can get to him in the secret place. I didn't come here tonight to tell you what you ought to be doing when you fast. I didn't tell you to give up M&Ms. I didn't come to tell you you can't have a Twinkie. That's not my purpose. All my purpose is this. You need to fast. You need to do something that's out of the flesh ordinary. Because if your flesh is given the opportunity to, it'll start telling you that it runs the show. It'll start telling you that it is primary and your spirit is secondary. You only do that on Sunday. Stop acting like you're a Christian and it's Friday afternoon. Do what everybody else is doing. Don't you hear the language they're using? Why wouldn't you use that language? Don't you see what they're drinking? Why wouldn't you drink what they're drinking? Because that God stuff only works on Wednesday and Sunday. Baby, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's not who you are. That's who they want you to be. That's who's popular. But do you want to be popular or do you want to cast out devils? Do you want to be known or do you want to touch blind eyes and watch sight come back? Do you want to have a lot of friends on Facebook or would you rather be able to speak into cancer and watch cancer leave a body? I'm not saying that being on Facebook is going to make you unable to do those things. What I'm saying is having Facebook run your life will absolutely disqualify you from being in a place where you can hear God. He will not share space. He will not share space. He will not share space. Your God is a jealous God. My God is a jealous God, and he's jealous because he loves you, and he has given you access to everything in heaven. How dare we pick something else? How do you get there? You pray this song. Take me to that place, that secret place, where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. You want me to fast my phone? I'll fast my phone. You want me to fast food? I'll fast food. You want me to give up a relationship? I'll give up a relationship. You want me to step away from something? I'll step away from it. You want me to spend more time with you? I'll spend more time with you. And when I'm with you, I won't think about nobody else and I won't do anything else. And I'll seek your face, just your face, just your hands, just your feet, just who you are. I just want to feel you. I want you to wrap me in your arms. I want you to let me know that you're real. I want to know who you are so I can know who I am. Take me to that place. That secret place. If we really want to get intimate with it, you'll listen to the verse of the song. There's a God who loves you and who's willing, who's ready, who's able to wrap you in his arms. And that is the place where you're changed. And that is the place where you belong. That's the place where you belong. Not anywhere else, not with anybody else. That's where you belong. Brother Copeland prophesied, somebody come get this. Brother Copeland prophesied that we'll walk in the supernatural just as easy as swimming in water or drinking water. Just as simple. Just simple. Just simple. Just simple. Just that we've put too many stipulations on it. We've put too many parameters on it. Look, the supernatural is really easy to access. Just go to the secret place and you have access to the secret place. Get in the secret place. Spend some time in the secret place. And so our altar call tonight is this. It's real simple. I'm not making any declarations about anybody getting their life right or any of that. It's real easy. Why don't you take some time tonight and go to the secret place? Maybe you haven't been there in a while. Or maybe you go there all the time. And if you go there all the time, baby, you're hungry for it. You're ready for it. Just tell me I can go away. Just let me get there. I just want you to take some time tonight and worship and get into that secret place. Just get into that secret place. And look, this song is here to help you. Maybe if you don't know what to say, then make this your prayer. Wrap me in your arms. But maybe you want to pray something else. That's fine. This is a moment where the secret place is available to you. And listen, there are going to be some leaders over by the red couches, and if you need prayer about something, you can go there. But I'm going to tell you this, do not let this moment go by and spend another week of your life struggling, because you're changed in the secret place. So I want you to stand on your feet. This altar is open. You can come up here and worship. You can go over and get prayer over by the red couches. Whatever it is you feel like you need to do. Are you ready to go to that place? Let's go. But I was driving. And I was thinking to myself about Christians in Iraq who are being persecuted for. Are you guys aware of what's happening? Some of you are aware, some of you are not. Okay. There are militant groups in Iraq and throughout the Middle East and in some other places too. It's in Australia, there are reports that some of them are getting very close to the United States, who are persecuting people who are not Muslim. So people who are Christian, who are persecuting Jews, who are persecuting Christians. Grotesque things are happening. I mean, people are being beheaded with pocket knives. It's intense. It's crazy. And I was thinking to myself, you know, and just praying and asking myself, what do you do in that situation if you're a Christian? What do you do? You know, in that, and these people are given the opportunity to renounce their faith, or they're given what do you do? And I know that the good old Christian answer is, I stand up for my faith. And I began to pray and I asked God, I said, God, where do you go? Where do these people go in their spirit? I know that If you know that you are about to be killed for your faith, you know that you are about to be murdered for believing in God, there's got to be a place where you go in your spirit. And I honestly had forgotten that we were doing this song tonight. But God began to remind me of the lyrics to this song. God began to remind me of the lyrics to this song. He said, you go to the secret place. You go to the secret place. You go to the secret place. Look, I believe that evil will be defeated. I do not believe that we should live in fear and terror. I'm going to live out loud for my God. No matter what happened, no matter what the cost is, I'm living. He's too good to me for me to not live out loud for him. And so my question to God was not a, do I run, do I hide, should I be afraid? My question to God was, because the Bible says that you will be persecuted for your faith. My question to God is, when I'm persecuted, where do I go? There's some people in here tonight, and I don't mean to liken your situation to being beheaded for your faith. That's not what I'm saying, but there's some people in here tonight who are going through some things and you just don't know where to go. Like you just don't know where to go. And I had to literally go to the worst place that I could think of and go, God, what do I do in this situation? And maybe you've been asking God, what do you do in this situation? Where do I go in this? You go to the secret place. 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 There are a lot of people who become victims of themselves and victim of circumstance. You're just a victim of turmoil, a victim of unrest, a victim of family issues, a victim of this and a victim of that. And you learn to put on a very tough exterior, a very tough outer side. You learn to keep a stiff upper lip and never let your emotions show. But where do you go spiritually? You go to the secret place. You go to the secret place. And so I specifically designed this altar call tonight, and it has nothing to where we're not calling people up and we're not singling you out, because I don't know what everybody's dealing with, and maybe you're not dealing with anything, but in good times, baby, you go to the secret place. And in bad times, you go to the secret place. If I'm being persecuted, I go to the secret place. And if I'm being blessed beyond measure, I go to the secret place. And when there's no end in sight, when it doesn't look like anything's going to get better, I go to the secret place. And when it gets better and I get a breakthrough, I go back to the secret place. I want you to understand that the secret place is a place where you always come back to. Because that's the place where breakthroughs happen, but that's also the place where you are sustained. He keeps you. That's the place where you find comfort, but that's also the place where you find unspeakable joy. It's the secret place. And so if you're dealing with something tonight and you're dealing with it and it's got you in this mood where I'm waiting to get out of here. I just want to get out of here. I'm just waiting on you to say amen so I can go play ping pong. Nothing wrong with ping pong. I love you, Shane. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with hanging out and playing. But if you are in here tonight and you're going through some stuff, I just want to open up. I just want to keep this space open for a second. These guys are over here by the red couches on purpose. And if you feel like you need to be prayed for, you go there. But if you don't feel like you need to be prayed for, you just really just need to be closer to God. You just need to need God. That's all you need is God. Go to that place. Go to that place.
Strife, I speak to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I say, bow your knee. You have no place here amongst us in our relationships with our families, with our parents. You have no place. So we call you out and we say, bow your knee, for Jesus is Lord. And Lord, I speak peace into that place. Where there was strife, I speak peace and I speak love. The love of God that passes all understanding. That doesn't ask what I can take from somebody, but what can I give? Lord, you are more than enough for us. You are more than enough. So, Lord, we place our expectation on you instead of people who will disappoint. You never disappoint us. Your word says that a house divided cannot stand. We choose unity now by saying, strife, you have no place. Lord, I pray for wisdom over each and every student, Lord, that they may see the slimy lies of strife in their relationships with their parents, that they would see the roots of bitterness and anger and even hatred, Lord. And by your word in Jeremiah 1:10 that says, we have the authority to announce to kingdoms that they be uprooted and destroyed, but that they may also be planted and grow. So we plant love. We plant peace, gentleness, kindness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We seal this by your blood, Lord. We cover each and every family represented here in your blood, Lord. Love covers a multitude of sins. So I see love covering them now. The hurts and the pains that have been inflicted are being covered by your love. May these students be ambassadors of your love in their families. Thank you, Lord.